This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Today's Multicultural 1600 AM. My name is Tua, coming into the process Tuesday. Today, you're in luck. I don't have any special guests today, but you get to hear about my story. I've been on the radio for the past few weeks and never got to share my story. So today is a nice, lovely, rainy day, so you get to hear my story about how I became an insurance agent from back in the days. I used to be a tattoo artist myself, and how that journey led me to become an insurance agent, and why did I choose the insurance industry. And once again, I want to thank Multicultural 1600 AM for making this Hmong American Hour possible. Well, this morning I was thinking about, like, what am I going to talk about? And I was on Facebook, and then I was just, like, looking through Facebook and scrolling up and down. And there were, like, a lot of people that had a lot of 2020 goals. They want to become a business owner or go back to school or do many things that could bring more value to their income. And majority of them would be like, I want to start a business. I want to start a business. I'm going to do this. I want to do that. I want to make a restaurant and do all kinds of things. And just sitting there reading all their Facebook feed, I wanted to chime in. But at the same time, I didn't want to kind of like, bust their bubble or the dreams. So most of them, when they talk about starting a business, it's basically trying to solve their money issues. So just to just know that starting a business will not solve your money issues. You start a business for a purpose. You know, there's always a why. It could be many reasons, such as like I want to help people, or I want to create a product or system that can leverage and help other people become better. So if you're trying to start a business to solve your money issue, then you'll be disappointed that on the short term, it won't do that. So back in, that goes to my story back in 2004 when I first moved to Fresno. Basically, I left San Diego with basically nothing. All I had was $40 in my pocket. And I came to Fresno to work at the Children's Hospital as an x-ray tech. And then when I got here, my paper didn't get transferred correctly, and so I wasn't able to get a job at Children's Hospital. So I was left with jobless for a few months. And at that time, you know, it was during the summer, and I was driving my BMW around, and then the AC broke on me because it was so hot, and then the compressor went out. And then next thing you know, BMWs, they're really notorious for the trunk wiring the back. So if you have a BMW, make sure to check that wire in the back trunk. It's going to burn your car down. And because you're always opening and closing the trunk, and then those wires in the back will eventually crack, and then the ground will touch the metal part of the trunk and cause a fire or a shortage in your BMW. And that happened to me. And that's my lesson learned. So whenever I see a BMW owner, I always bring that up. So that way, hopefully I can help solve their problem and your problem as well now. So my BMW caught on fire, and then short out everything, and I was carless, and I had to borrow my aunt's truck, her farm truck. So it had like a bunch of chicken poop all over. It was really dirty, and I was really embarrassed, but I needed a car to get around to Fresno. And then I decided to go back to school, so I went to Fresno State towards my master's and biochemistry. And then I happened to take an elective, the graphic communications for graphic designing. And there I met my best friend, Pai, and Pai Vang. And then she showed me how to do Photoshop and Adobe Illustrator. And then I just got hooked to it. And I said, you know what? I like this. Since I'm an artist, I might as well make a living doing this. So that hot summer, I drove that truck around town, and then I was just looking for businesses that would hire me to design their flyers or business card design. So I was driving around town, and everybody was turning me down because at that time they weren't interested as well. But luckily, I met some business owners that gave me a chance. Yang Chiropractor on McKinley and First, they gave me a chance, and Hong Kong Video, they gave me a chance to design their business card, and that gave me the opportunity to start my business in Fresno. So I started that business trying to solve my money issues, and I found out really quick that if I wasn't making that money that I was dreaming about, I wasn't so into it. So then I took a few days off to realize, you know what, I should do it because I want to do it, not because I'm trying to solve my money issue. As soon as I started switching the mindset and had my why, I wanted to create a graphic design studio where I can serve the Fresno community and also help business owners with their marketing and also bring more revenue to their business. And that became my purpose and why. And then after I switched my mindset from trying to solve my money issues, I was able to help these business owners generate more leads and gain more clients walking through their door. And as soon as I started doing that, the business owners, they started seeing the progress of their business. So they started to spend more money in hiring me to design more marketing materials. So then I realized, wow, so if I help somebody become successful, then they're going to help me reach my goals, my dreams, you know. So I always tell every person that wants to start a business, if you're trying to solve your money issues, then most likely it won't be successful because that's not a good enough why. And then after my graphic design business, I started, so business that don't work because they don't develop a turnkey system was my next issue. I would just transaction after transaction, and I didn't have a turnkey system where it can generate leads or bring in more referrals. And then I would go out there, make a sale, come back, do the work, and then do the same thing every day. Go out, make a sale, come back, go out, make a sale, come back. And I was getting really tired. And I was like, wow, you know, I got to create a system where, you know, the leads are coming in and it's, people are referring. So I don't have to go out there and make a sale every day where I can get walk-ins or calls or referrals. So I started working with my existing clients, you know, serving them better and asking them, do they know anybody else that could use my service? And happy clients are willing to share their network. And from there, I learned that I got to take care of my front line. I got to take care of my clients first, and then everything will fall in place. Because I always thought that if I can go out there and sell every day and try to get more clients, then I'll be okay. But then I will always be working and hustling all the time in order to be to match my monthly quota. So after I let go of the idea of trying to go out there and make a sale every day, I started focusing on my clients. It's a little bit slow at first because you're going to lose some sales because you're not going out there no more. But then you're developing the system at the beginning. It's going to hurt a little bit financially, but eventually it will build like a snowball rolling down the hill. It's small at first, but then as you let the snowball roll down the hill, it gets bigger and bigger as time goes. So you have to think of that mindset. You know, it's going to hurt at first, but then eventually, if you keep at it and commit to the process, it will build, and the residual will take care of you. And I got some friends that I would say, you know what, since I'm a good cook at home, I'm going to start a restaurant business, or, you know, I'm good at this, I'm going to do this, or I know how to buy cars from Craigslist and I'm going to start flipping them. I'm going to start a car dealership, you know. I mean, I'm not stopping no entrepreneur because I'm an entrepreneur myself, and I promote anybody that wants to start a business, and I'm proud of that, and I promote everyone to at least own a business once in a lifetime. But just because you can do anything and put your mind to it, it doesn't mean you should, you know. I learned that lesson from my years as basically I started this business selling these products, and then just because somebody else was doing it very successfully, I thought I could do it myself. And then I got into it and I lost a lot of money. So just because you see somebody else doing it and you see that they're making so much money or they're successful and you put your mind to it, but then that's not your game. You know, you have to understand your game, the rules, like playing basketball. You know, just because you see somebody in basketball really well, it doesn't mean you can be a basketball player. You know, if you don't know what game you are playing, you won't understand the rules. You won't know how to keep the score. You won't know what kind of tools to use, and you won't know, and you won't be able to choose your appropriate uniform to wear, like a basketball. You know, you have to understand every step in order to make it achievable. So that falls back to my tattoo years, right after I became a graphic designer. I decided to get into tattoos because I saw people doing all these crazy work on their body and they're getting paid for it. I said, well, I could be a tattoo artist myself. So I went out and decided to buy these tattoo materials. And so I started tattooing on people, and then it didn't turn out so well. And that was a huge mistake. I jumped too fast forward, and I didn't get a chance to learn the appropriate steps in order to become a great artist. And that falls back down to where you can do anything you put your mind to it. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. But luckily, I was an artist, and I was able to pick it up very fast. And in 5 years, I was very successful at it. But then it took 5 years nonstop practicing, drawing, and doing all kinds of traveling in order to learn. So I immersed myself 110% into this field. So going backwards to my graphic design years again, right after I became a little bit successful doing graphic design, my biggest challenge was being able to gain more clients through the hardship of 2008. That's when everything fell. The housing market fell and business was shutting down, and I was losing a lot of clients because there was no more money to be made. When business go out of business, then they don't have the income or the budget to do graphic design or marketing materials. Some people get scared and they don't want to market anymore because they're trying to save that money for the rainy days. But in reality, in business, you know, when it's slow like this, you're supposed to market more. Prepare yourself for the when it gets better. But that time, everyone was panicking and business was shutting down. And that hurt my business a lot because nobody was opening business no more. Nobody was printing signs, decals, or business cards. So that put me into a little recession, you know. And then I had to figure a way to generate income to keep my business going, because I had a lifestyle that I had to take care of. So when people say they want to start a business, you know, they're thinking about like, oh, I don't have a boss to, you know, go under. So I think that's one of the things why many a lot of people go into business for, is because they think that if they go into business for themselves, then they don't have to answer to the boss. And that's the first thing, you know, one of the reasons why many people go into business. So, but that is right. You know, you don't get to answer to nobody. You go in and clock when you want to, and you do whatever you want to because it's your business. But what they fail to think about is, you know, when you work for somebody, there's only one boss. But when you work for yourself, all your clients are all your boss. And every client is different. So it's like going to the zoo, and you see all kinds of animals with all kinds of behaviors, different things. So imagine going to the zoo and you're basically handling all kinds of animals. What this animal eats this animal does that. So like your clients, every client has a different personality and they're all your boss. So you will have to adjust to everyone's likings. And that is one thing that many entrepreneurs fail to think, because they thought that they can go into business and they can just answer to nobody. But then think about it. If you have 1,000 customers, that's 1,000 bosses that you got to answer to. If you have 5,000 customers, that's 5,000 bosses. So I would say that'd be one of your major, you know, you have to think about it before you go into business. You know, handling one boss was hard enough, but imagine 1,000+ bosses. So we're going to go into commercial, and when we get back, we're going to talk some more about my story and some more entrepreneur tips. This is Multiculture, 1600 AM, the Hmong American Hour.
ตุนังชาดูจะยวนยะกอมบอนอสหายอีหลอเต้ากะนอเตกุชามอลาชาวจังกอนอลอเต้ากำลองกะโมอินูกอนยังกาจองเตมอตุนังอวยจังลีกอคุกอมอเทียปอง จะลูกก็จะเจ้ากูเตยอเขาเจ้ากูโมเกลูเจ้ากอตุชีสาเตียโยมอนูนอโอกัวมอลอสักกอกอนอสักกูยัวลูกกำบาลิจาลาชิเจ้ากอชาฟิกูชังลี
Yeah.
Welcome back to Multicultural 1600 AM. I'm your host, Tua. I'm coming to the process Tuesday. Just to let you guys know, this Saturday, March 14, we're having a Habitat auction for humanity at the Behind Clovis Restore. Actually, at Clovis Restore on 1631 Railroad Avenue, Clovis, California, 93621. Right behind Lowe's. So if you're free this Saturday from 11 to 2, please drop by. There will be a trade show booth, silent auction, live auction, raffles, food and truck music. And also, there'll be live auction on a limo, in a boat, and vacations, and high-end furniture. So if you're looking for a limo, this is your opportunity to show up at the Habitat auction and win yourself a limo. And also, I'm a vice president of the Hmong Chamber as well, and we're actually taking applicants or membership for the Hmong Chamber. Yeher is actually the president, and it's a great time to join the California Hmong Chamber because we're at the right beginning where we're developing a relationship with the community. With the membership, you also get your business blast on the website for the world to see, ribbon cutting services, a membership plaque, and other opportunity to host mixers that will build your business professional network. So be sure, for more information, you can also contact me at 559-492-2348. For more information, if you're interested in joining the California Hmong Chamber, or our president, Yeher, at 559-905-6122. And another event this Friday, next Friday actually, March 20th, we're having a night market hosted at 4274 North Blackstone, right next to grocery outlet. There's going to be food booths, games, vendors that's selling clothing, and also other general merchandise. So if you're not doing anything next Friday night, be sure to stop by 4274 North Blackstone, right next to grocery outlet, and check out our night market. Rise Night Market, actually. So, going back to my story earlier about when I was a graphic designer and how I transitioned from graphic designing to insurances, I basically every process will lead to where I'm at today. When I was a graphic designer, I was always looking for a shortcut to get to where I want to be faster. But then I realized that if you're looking for a shortcut, you have to look somewhere else because there are none in entrepreneurship. Every process of the way, it counts because every failures, every success, every step counts towards your dreams and goals when you're an entrepreneur. You cannot skip the failures or you cannot skip the success because if you skip those, eventually it'll come back to you. You know, when you're successful and you go try to do it again, you're going to fail again. Well, once you learn that failure, you can never fail again. So you may want it now, but you don't get to have it now. So imagine 10 years from now, do you see yourself working this business? Basically, you can't run a business when you're waiting for directions. So if you're waiting for directions on how to start a business, then you can't run a business. Some people will say, I'm waiting to become this. I'm waiting for more income. I'm waiting for this. Eventually, they'll keep on waiting with your hands in your pocket. You can't climb the ladder of success if your hands are in your pocket. So I was always known as the guy that takes the risk. You see me on Facebook and then I'll talk about doing this and next day, bam, I'm doing this already. Sometimes I catch myself from doing too many things and then I'll eventually have to admit the fault and let go of some stuff in order to make time for the other stuff that counts. So this past weekend, I went down to Temecula for a insurance award and meeting other successful agents. I realized that they're so focused. They're so focused on becoming successful in that one niche, and they're able to succeed and produce more. And then I look at myself. I say, you know what? I'm working so hard, but I'm not achieving half of what they're achieving. And then I realized that I'm doing too many things. And then I took a Saturday and Sunday to think about what can I let go in order for me to reach my goals. My goals and my whys. The goals that I set out for at first. And I lost track because I get excited very fast. And then when I hear about somebody else's mission or plan, I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it because ideas just start popping out. Like, for example, somebody wants to do this, and I'm like, wow, I know how to do a little bit of that, and I can help. I'm going to jump on it too, so I can help them, you know, make that project come to life. And then I commit to it, and then I realize, wow, you know, I'm drifting further away from my personal goals. And I have to realize that, you know, sometimes you can't do it all, because you cannot catch like four chickens with two hands, you know. And I realized that's one of the most important quote right there. You cannot catch four chickens, two chickens, or five chickens with just your two hands, unless you corner them, right? But that weekend, this past weekend, taught me a lot about myself. You know, I cannot try to do too many things and I'll eventually fail at all of them. So I have to learn to let go of some stuff in order to focus. So sometimes people will be wishing, they wish their dream will come true, but wishing and attending, dreaming are not the same as doing, because success is a choice. You know, you have to decide that today I'm going to do this in order to get there. So it has to be a choice. I mean, it's a choice that we have to make day in and day out. So I had to make a decision that eventually I want to be successful in 10, 20 years from now. So I had to stop doing some things that are not taking me there. Eventually, it's going to hurt some people's feelings, but, you know, it's either you make a choice now or later on, pay the price of not achieving your goals and dreams. And eventually, your friends or business partners, they will understand, because if they don't understand, then they're not your friends or real business partners. Because if it doesn't work out for you, all you're doing is dragging them down, because they're moving forward and you're just dragging them down. So it's better to let the idea go, so that way they can run with their ideas and you or I can run with our ideas. So that happened to me in my later years as a tattoo artist. I had a business partner in my tattoo shop. And at the beginning, we were doing really well. We had this big idea. But eventually, we kind of grew apart. And I wanted to do this. He wanted to do that. And our ideas wasn't coming together anymore. And we had to make that choice where either we separate, or, you know, we stick to one plan. So eventually, we separated. And after the separation, our own business bloomed. And after that, I realized that, you know, you have to realize what you want for yourself in 10 years from now. You know, once you figure out what do you want 10 years from now, then you can work backwards and work on your lifestyle, the lifestyle that you want. So many people are failing because they're in a season, but living as is off season. They fail because they cannot maintain their focus. And they'd rather solve their problem than just selling the product. Hustling just gets you tired, and then leverage is what will make you, you know, rich. So every day I'll hear my friends say, "Are you gonna hustle today? Are you gonna hustle?" I'm hustling, hustling, but then hustling will just get you tired. And then I eventually met some friend named Chris Cal from Southern California. He taught me how that I should build a system, because once you build a system, and that will build the leverage that will make you reach the dream or the wealth that you want. Because hustling every day just gets tiring. You know, you have to go out there, make a sale, do all kinds of things just to maintain that sales. But once you build leverage in the system will keep feeding your leverage, and then your leverage will keep feeding your residuals, and your residuals will take care of you on your rainy days. And sometimes people, they rush into the sale too hard, and then they don't even know the product. And I have a store like that too. You know, I was trying to sell this product, this insurance product. People would ask me what it is for, what is it, and things like that. And I'd be like, I didn't know what it is. And so how can you sell something that you don't even believe? So get to know your product or service thoroughly, isolating how it helps people. Only this way you can apply your knowledge and the prospect's needs. So think I need some water. But anyways, we're going to go to commercial right now. So thank you for tuning in. And Multiculture 1600 AM. My name is Tua, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Multiculture 1600 AM. This is Tua. This is the Hmong American Hour. Over the commercial break, I was talking to our mixer master over there, Esmeralda. She's been with us for the last few weeks, and she's been controlling the board. And we always ask her, one of these days, we're going to bring her on the show and just get to know her. And so I'm going to use my last section of the radio show to talk to her, introduce her to you guys. So how you doing, Esmeralda?
Hi, everyone. I'm good.
Good? Yeah, so we're just talking that you were from Mexico. What city were you from, Mexico?
Do you want to know the exactly city or the state?
state and city if you have it.
All right. Yeah, I'm from Jalisco. So mm-hmm. the town that I was born is close to Guadalajara.
Wow.
Okay. I know it sounds like a big name, yeah, but it's pretty popular over there in Mexico. So if you get to know the mariachi and all the regional Mexican music, I'm from there. And the tequila.
Tequila? Oh, okay. So is that near the beach or is it inland?
Yeah, that will be inland. Uh-huh. For us, take about 5 hours.
Wow.
Driving. Oh, yeah.
It's like going, going down to San Diego, huh?
Yeah.
From here.
Definitely.
Wow, that's pretty far to just go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys go to the beach often too or no?
No, we didn't have enough money. That's why we came here.
Came to America to exploit opportunities here?
Yeah. My dad, we usually eat tortillas. I don't know if you eat those kind of things.
Oh, you sell those?
No, but the thing is we were having economic issues when we were used to live over there because we were six in the family.
Yes.
So my dad wasn't having a pretty good employee. So he noticed, the best opportunity to give them even the changes of their life and the language and everything, they can grow up and education. Let's grow North America and we are here in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, everybody comes to America because it's the land of opportunity. Because everybody is trying to get in America because here everyone has the same opportunity to become whatever they want to be. Mm-hmm. And that was a great move. So did you came to Fresno or did you live somewhere else before?
I actually commute every day to Fresno to work. So I live in Dinuba.
Dinuba? Wow.
Dinuba is like about 45 minutes from here.
Wow.
It depends how you drive, right?
It takes me about 20 minutes.
Oh, okay. That means you fly.
Fly. So do you go down to 9 and then take that?
The Mountain View?
Yeah, Mountain View all the way or?
115 is the exit. Yeah.
Wow. So in Dinuba, huh?
Yes.
So you guys came to Dinuba and stayed there or you guys lived somewhere else before or?
Yeah, we got there about 10 years ago.
So
if you can tell, my English is not pretty good. I have an accent.
Yeah, it's good.
And I can barely explain myself because I usually talk in Spanish in my house. Yeah.
So when you got here, what is your motivation to become better? I mean, what is your dream? You know?
Oh my goodness. That's a good question. Like you never asked me that.
like 10 years from now, what is your dream?
10 years from now, I want to create my own production studio, like musical. Because I know for regional Mexican music, it's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And they create the videos on YouTube. You know, it's a good way to have the video and the audio, combine them.
Yeah.
So I kind of study for that. So I guess I have the talent for it or I can have the patience to it.
So this job here is kind of helping you.
To build my dream.
That's good. So that's your dream. And then, so how long have you been working here at the station right here, Ms. Mirada?
It's not too long. I'm a brand new baby here. I know some people are here. Sinaloa is here for about 25 years. He has been here.
Uh-huh.
I believe Guillen, the one of our on-air talent, and he's a production guy for the Exitos Multicultural in La Buena.
Mm-hmm.
He has like, I believe 30 years here, so they're pretty good at it.
Yeah.
So I'm like in a sponge getting connected to everyone, but I barely have 7 months.
Wow.
So if you go back, it's not too much.
but we see you up there mixing really nice. So this is the Hmong American Hour. So before coming to this radio station, do you know anything about the Hmong people or no?
To be honest, no.
No?
No.
So we're the first Hmong you see?
Yes. In my contact on my web list.
Uh-huh. So that means you haven't been to the Hmong New Year yet in Fresno, right? Because Fresno has the biggest Hmong New Year in the world.
Because
everybody flies from like other countries or they drive from other states and they come to the Fresno Hmong New Year during December 26th to January 1st.
That means I have to put it in my calendar.
Yeah, so this coming year, you have to come and check us out. It's held at the Fresno Fairgrounds.
Awesome.
And then there'll be food vendors, merchandise, shows, cultural shows, beauty pageant. And it's a really big event that happens every year. And I think it's been going on for 40 years already.
Mm.
So, and then surprising that not people know about it. So maybe this year you can join us over there.
Yes, just definitely.
And there's parties too. Do you like dancing?
I love dancing.
Okay, then there's a lot of parties.
I'm not saying that I'm good at it, but I love it.
Well, I'm not good at it too. We just go out there and just dance. So all if right. you like dancing, then this New Year celebration would be great for you.
Awesome. Yeah, just let me know on time, I guess.
So, the right time. So I was curious about the Day of the Dead, right? October?
Uh-huh.
What is the purpose of that? Do you celebrate that too or not?
Yes. Uh-huh. We created, like, it's a tradition that uh-huh. comes from generation to generation, uh-huh. you know. We usually do colorful stuff. We use flowers. Mm-hmm. They have a symbol. Mm-hmm. We create some altars, decorations on, like, they look like a cake uh-huh. going up in the sky.
Oh, okay.
But they have several levels that you can put what they like
uh-huh.
or what they used to like okay. when they lived, what they wear, some of the flowers they liked,
uh-huh.
the items they used to do around when they were okay. alive. So let's say if my grandpa was, he liked to sing, and we used to put the microphone there,
oh, okay.
or the songs that he wrote. So in order to make a consideration and remembering him, how he was in
yeah.
life.
Yeah, because last year when I went to go visit my mom at the cemetery, and it was during that time, and I'll go there and I'll see like a lot of Hispanics, like mm-hmm. just, you know, sitting in their little tent chairs, and they're just cooking food, they're eating food, and they're out there, and there's a lot. And I saw that, I was like, wow, you know, I like that culture,
yeah.
because it means that they haven't forgot about their deceased loved mm-hmm. ones. And I felt that was very amazing that you guys have that culture, and I really like that culture, that kind of lifestyle right there.
So. Yeah, we make a lot of connections to the past, I guess.
Do you dig up the past?
Well, I learn from it, I guess.
Well, that's good. So, on your free time, besides working here, Esmeralda, what do you do?
I like to read.
Like to read? Uh-huh. What kind of books are you reading right now?
It's usually in Spanish and romantic novels.
Romantic novels?
Or like personal stuff that makes you grow. Remember, I don't know if you've read
uh-huh.
the book. It's 5 Languages of Love. So those type of things I like. I guess because I can psychologically identify someone else as if they like to do this and they're not.
Oh, so when we're here,
I'm analyzing.
Are you analyzing me and my crew?
Kind of.
Hopefully good, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good coming up with you okay. guys.
All right, now I know I got act normal next time. So you've been for 7 months.
Yes.
And
what I have been growing? Oh, I can say I didn't know how to touch the board at all.
I know.
So to become a board operator,
uh-huh.
you have to have like a pretty good ear, I guess,
uh-huh.
and know how to react quick.
Because yeah.
for some of the timing is like, okay, we're living around 3 seconds alone. We're off the air. We have to do something else, and then uh-huh. you gotta find a solution quick.
Yeah, yeah.
The person that taught me, I don't know, have you seen him? It's the one with glasses always passing by around
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I've seen him. Yeah.
It's Mr. Octavio Duarte. I'll give a shout out for him because he's pretty good at it, and he's not a professional teacher, but he's pretty good at explaining everything that he yes. has learned. So I'm pretty glad that he taught me everything that he knows. And even I'm still learning. I'm learning how to do the remotes now that mm-hmm. we're going out the streets.
Yeah.
We get the band, the sound, and everything, the system. And we make the calls in to let them know, hey, we are here. Come and visit us. Check it out, the prices that we have. And so at some point, I know that I study for it,
mm-hmm.
But I don't feel I have the full knowledge to it. So I guess the practice makes the master.
Yeah, the process, right?
And I'm in the baby steps right now.
So pretty soon you'll be on the other side of the wall right there, right?
Maybe.
You should go.
You gotta get my start.
Yeah, you'll be on the other side of the wall, and then we have to find a new board master.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's good.
And I'm the only girl here on the side of the operators.
Oh, yeah, I remember you told me that. And then you're basically like the voice for the female, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I do all the commercials in Spanish. Sometimes if they request me to do some in English, I'll do them for them.
Yeah, because what's his name again?
Octavio.
Octavio? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looks normal, right? And then I thought he was just a normal guy. Uh-huh. And then when he went on the mic and started talking in Spanish, I was like, wow, he sounds like professional, you know? And his appearance was different, but when he on the radio, it was like, wow.
Yeah,
like,
every radio and radio station, you can see he'll have a perception of the voice.
Yeah.
So if you hear my voice, you're going to say, oh, that sounds like a little girl or like a boy with mixed voice of girl. I don't know, the mixer of voices. And I'm also pretty funny because I never talk as my normal voice. I always make voices like I try to imitate the Spaniards or the Chile.
Can you give us an example?
I can say, joder, tío, or... Because they make voices like that, or they have it. Yeah. And even if from one town or second town, you can tell in Mexico, and that's a difference in how they have the language.
Like a dialect, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So it's all...
If we talk about dialects, I think there's like about 250 in Mexico.
Wow, that's a lot.
What about you guys? Do you guys have any dialects?
We only have two, and it's already hard.
Oh, okay.
Because we have the, we call it the green and the white language and then the green language. And then if you speak the white language, you might not understand the green language.
Wow.
But if you speak the green, you basically understand both language because you understand it. But if you speak the white language only, sometimes when somebody speaks the green language, you won't understand at all. And then if for example, like a husband speaks the green and the wife speaks the white, and then when she marries into the husband's side of the family and they all speak green, she'll have a hard time understanding like what to do.
She has to adapt to it? Or
yeah, she will have to learn it. Because the green language, the words can be... Like, for example, like bridge, like the bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then green, it'd be like chaw. And then the white, chaw. I mean, same thing, right?
Wow.
But then the green say bridge, but the white say blanket.
Oh, my God.
So it could be blanket or it could be a bridge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or like things like that. So if you say the same word and sometimes, oh, yeah, give me that blanket over there. But she'd be like, what? Give me a bridge? You know? So yes. It's very...
It's like all of us when we change... if you go to Spain, they have a different way to say things. Or even from Argentina or some other place on the South America, you can tell they have a different way to say that. Even if it's still Spanish, but it's totally different.
Totally
you
different
get
meaning.
Confused with sometimes. Okay, I'm not saying this. I'm saying this. All right, I see what you meant now.
Do you get confused sometimes when you speak to other dialect?
Yes.
And do you find yourself, oh, I'm sorry.
I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't say it in my way.
Are there some words that are like very embarrassing?
Yes.
They are a lot? Yes,
there are a lot.
So you have to be careful who you talk to then.
Mm-hmm. And how you say them in the context, I guess.
And I didn't know that when I was working at the auto repair shop, and then there is some Hispanic that speaks very fast Spanish. It is so fast; it sounds like I was like, "Whoa, wait a minute!"
Yeah, and it's way different, and the rhythm I get. And even if you go to Peru, they speak way faster than Mexico. So the rhythm and the talking on the dialogue.
Do you understand it too or no?
Yeah, I understand it, but some words that you mentioned, like you say, instead of say bridge, we said something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, we see now how you relate it into the context because it's different.
Yeah. But then again, it's still kind of like Spanish in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And you understand it.
Yeah.
But just that sometimes has different meaning, it throws it off, right?
And for Mexico, we tend to say like double words.
Double words?
It makes sense. So we say one word and it can have like 2 or 3 minutes.
Wow.
So it's like
what 2-3 minutes what
meanings?
Oh, meanings.
Yeah.
I was gonna say what 2-3 minute what.
Actually, about the timing, we're close to the closing. Oh,
yeah.
And we were having a pretty good chat.
Yeah, that sounds good. But thank you for tuning in, Multicultural 1600 AM. And then next time we'll start out with Esmeralda next time. But don't forget this Saturday at the Clovis we're having our Habitat trade show. And thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next Tuesday. My name is Tua, and this is Committing to the Process.
Bye-bye, everyone. Nice to meet you.
Yep.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.